Hello, everyone. I'm Mark Squires. Thanks so much for tuning in today for episode 4 in our second season of FinPoint. Welcome back, or if this is your first FinPoint, so glad you joined us today. If you tuned into our last episode, you'll recall in this season of FinPoint, we're introducing and examining growth engines. To summarize, growth engines are strategies to help firm leaders and advisors activate the advice value stack to deliver value to clients and to grow your business. The four growth engines represent how firms can actively deliver what investors want. Recall in the first episode of the season, Mike Durbin, president of Fidelity Institutional, joined us to introduce the four growth engines, which, as a reminder, include sustainability quotient, digital quotient, intelligence quotient, and emotional quotient. In episode 3, we focused on digital quotient, or DQ, and more specifically, how firms embrace their digital transformation to really optimize the customer experience. Today, we're moving on to intelligence quotient, or IQ, the third of our four growth engines. So before we dive into what IQ is and exactly how it works, I'm so excited to introduce my first guest, Anand Sekar. Anand is vice president in our practice management and consulting team back here at Fidelity Institutional, and he works closely with many of the guests you've heard in our previous episodes. Anand, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Mark. I'm looking forward to diving into this topic.
So we're on our third growth engine today, intelligence quotient, IQ, which of course is a term everyone has heard before, but it means something a bit different in this context, doesn't it?
Absolutely, Mark. You know, if we look back at our industry, it was essentially built predominantly on its IQ. And what I mean by that is that advisors deliver value historically through personal experience, expertise, and really their industry knowledge. Really their ability to interpret and act on a lot of complex financial data. Advisors really have a lot of information advantage in the ability to place trades, to construct portfolios, and to manage investments. But a lot of that information advantage has really been under threat for some time now, as we all know.
Let's talk more about that.
There are really a whole list of environmental factors that have been coming into play. One of the biggest, of course, is the emergence of a whole range of technologies that are used to improve and automate the delivery of financial services. And at the same time, there's an explosion in the number and the complexity of the investment options available. You know, you think back to when the stock market was first formed and how simple it was back then, and how many different products, think about ETFs and structured products and so on and so forth, alternatives, not to even make it more complicated, including ESG, most recently, that's increased in the availability as well as the interest in it. All of this is due to the shifting needs of the investor, especially as we see a new generation of investors coming through who have different experiences, preferences, and expectations. And of course, there's been the issue of price compression that comes with all of the above complexity.
And you know, all those things we've actually touched upon in earlier episodes. So it seems to me the IQ has shifted as a result of all those factors. Do you agree?
That's right. IQ has morphed to be all about giving clients access to information. It's incredibly valuable with the overwhelming choices, the complexity and time constraints we all face. I mean, any one of us is just so time constrained. And think about that for a minute. We're really being inundated with an overwhelming volume of information and choices in everyday life.
Yeah, we certainly are. And we can all vouch for that, especially, you know, in the middle of a pandemic.
Right. It's a challenge to escape it. So really, IQ has shifted to be about giving clients the information, the expertise, and solutions they need at the right time and in the right way.
And that, I mean, that does make a lot of sense. So tell us what it looks like when you see IQ in action. Maybe make it real.
Sure. It can certainly look different at every firm. For some advisors, it will mean securing outside support to enhance their investment management and capabilities. This can include leveraging external portfolio construction insights or offering capabilities beyond their traditional product set, such as alternative investments. It could also mean using full-service model portfolios to help manage investments more efficiently, freeing up time for client service and relationship building, or putting a unified managed household account into place, helping families with multiple accounts and multiple family members have a more all-inclusive approach. For other advisors, it could mean being an information curator. Going back to that topic of information overload, an advisor can provide an invaluable service by helping their clients sort through the overwhelming flood of information. They can also provide access to a broader network of experts, such as insurance brokers, estate planners, or charitable advisors, all with the goal to help make investors more confident and make decisions much easier and also more beneficial. Let me just give you one example to bring it home for you. But 2 years ago, my mom had a stroke. Soon after that, we had to help my dad make tough decisions about selling their townhouse and moving to a single floor living space. There are clearly financial components of such a decision that I know advisors would be well equipped to handle. What was more challenging to navigate was finding what would be the best living situation for them.
So that's a major life event for a son to go through with your parents and for your family.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm very thankful we got through it. My parents are doing well, and I'm very grateful that we were able to find it. What the experience drove home for me, though, is that advisors really need a broader network of experts beyond perhaps the traditional ones. And I believe that those advisors that can do that will actually deliver more relevant advice and help a client through significant life challenges. And when a firm falls back on industry knowledge and only focuses on their ability to manage money and conduct trades, or maybe even only focus on financial planning, we believe that they're missing an opportunity to broaden the information and skills they can deliver to their clients. As I talk with advisors, it's clear that they deliver their highest value to their clients beyond their investments. I like to refer this to working at the top of your license. You know, by asking the right questions and having the humility to know that you may not always have the right answers, the advisor can identify other ways to serve them. I want to be clear on something, though. Our industry will continue to rely on intelligence to help investors make decisions that are right for them and to solve complex problems. But our role will be to help individuals and families wade through all of that choice and complexity, not just in their finances, but in every aspect of their life.
And that really brings us back in the conversation full circle, right to the advice value stack and the importance of delivering value to clients beyond managing the money, which of course is the lowest level of the pyramid in that stack.
Spot on, Mark. I would find it challenging to get at those top levels of peace of mind and fulfillment if you were not able to think about the foundational levels. I think we've said earlier, the more value an advisor can deliver across the levels, the more an investor would value their advice. And the more investors value advice, the stronger the advice relationship can become. And we know that because of relationship building, it builds loyalty, which at the end of the day leads to referrals and ultimately growth.
Well, which is why we call them the growth engines, right? So, Anand, what a great transition for us. Let's take a moment and bring in our next guest. Let me introduce John Poulton, strategic advisor at Brown Advisory. Brown Advisory is an independent investment management firm based right here in Boston, Massachusetts. The firm's institutional and private clients are served by over 700 colleagues worldwide, all of whom are equity owners of the firm. John, welcome to the conversation.
Mark, thanks for giving me this opportunity to talk to you.
So, John, you've heard us talking about intelligence quotient, otherwise known as IQ, and how it's evolved over the years. I'd love to hear straight from you, you know, an advisor working in the space, how do you leverage your IQ to better serve your clients?
First, I thought Anand made some really excellent points, and we all really need to figure out how we distinguish ourselves from the perceived commodity of investment management and advice. At Brown Advisory, we've learned that no one individual has all the answers. So we found a way to leverage our IQ by curating information, expertise, and services through our advisor network, which includes employees, directors, shareholders, and each of our respective centers of influence. Let me tell you a quick story. Years ago, I received a telephone call from a client about his wife's plans to donate his blue blazer to Goodwill. Mark, I know what you're thinking. John has gone off course again. But in fact, the client had sewn a $10,000 bill in the coat's pocket, and he was looking for a way to sell this particular bill. This bill was taken out of circulation back in the 60s, and in fact, that was the only thing I knew about the $10,000 bill. So what I wanted to do is to go out and use our internal process to try to find the answer. Brown Advisory has developed a formal internal process to get requests out to over 700 employees. These include people at all levels of the firm, not just the client-facing employees, but everyone, including our board of directors. Each of these people have a broad and diverse experience and also have centers of influence. So reaching out to 700 employees, in fact, means we're reaching out to almost 10,000 people who might have the answer that we're looking for. All these responses are vetted, and the results are generated usually in a day or two. In the case of the $10,000 bill, we were able to successfully find a buyer for significantly more than its face value.
So John, using the example of the $10,000 bill, so you've got a network in-house of 700 colleagues that you work with. They, of course, have outside networks of their own. So you're really tapping into them to find areas of expertise. In this case, let's say someone who might have a background in rare bills or currency or rare coins. Do I have that right?
Absolutely. We're a very diverse group of folks with diverse experiences. And quite frankly, we all don't know everything about each other, but we do know that they'll be supportive of responding to our requests.
That's fantastic. And you know, it sounds like something you've been doing for a while and you've got some serious processes in place. Just out of curiosity, you know, how do you get people across the firm to participate?
I really think this goes to Brown Advisory's team-oriented culture and is part of each of our employees' DNA. And this really causes the hit rate to be always very strong. As you know, we are privately owned, and every employee receives ownership in the company from their first day of work. I think this ownership structure is key to having everyone have a stake in each client's success and the business in general. People who don't work directly on client relationships benefit when the client relationship succeeds. It is our culture for people to participate, to be proactive and responsive to our clients' needs. As I tell our new employees, it's always easy to say no. It's much harder to say yes and go out and find the answers our clients need. We all believe in finding a way to say yes and to get it all done.
And John, I suspect it doesn't just stop at Brown Store. Everything you're doing internally to connect to your network isn't the only thing you do to identify solutions for your clients. You know, we talk about that a lot, the importance of a personal network and specifically your centers of influence. And using that network can make a huge difference in bringing IQ to bring more value to your clients. Tell me a little bit about how you've developed your personal network beyond perhaps like the traditional centers of influence, such as accountants, attorneys, and the like.
Exactly. I've carefully developed my external network, which I really view as a friend network. These are folks who I know that I always will take their call or text, and they will do the same for me. It's about 15 to 20 people, because I'd rather have a handful of high quality people I can count on than a really large network who I don't know very well. In this case, I really emphasize quality over quantity. I never would use this network for blast emails or with frequent requests. As a result, they know if I'm asking them, I'm looking for a response. And this philosophy also holds true with respect to my clients. I had a client, and ultimately a large referral source, tell me at one point in time, I don't refer business to you because I like you. I refer it to you because you're responsive and get the job done. I may like you a lot, but if you're unable to help the clients and they return back to me with problems, I will go elsewhere. I carry that philosophy of client relationships into how I've developed my network. I spent a lot of time carefully working on the network to bring more information and expertise back to the value I deliver to my clients. This can include everything from new estate planning techniques, wall changes, and even new investment options. During this time of COVID, clients, in fact, just would love to hear our voices. And we feel the same about them.
Well, John, it sounds like your firm has spent a lot of time carefully working on its IQ, really honing it up, you know, to deliver the value of the intelligence to your end clients, which is incredible. Let me just ask, would you agree, is it one of the drivers behind your firm's strategy and culture?
I would certainly agree with that. Brown Advisory understands that investment performance is very cyclical. In any given time period, you can look like a genius or the other. Finding a way to connect to our clients is critical, and we have an obsession for going outside our core competency to deliver value to our clients and increase that stickiness to our clients. We consider it really our secret sauce, the glue that connects us to our clients. It's not just in client service. We take this philosophy into our investment research. Our research team helps institutional and private clients as a resource to make investment decisions, and that's a value add for some of our private clients. At the end of the day, we just don't believe we need to do everything internally ourselves. Value can be added by everyone, everywhere.
You know, John, that's such a great point. And that's just one of the key principles of the value stack as well. It takes a village. And it's just so great to hear you say that. And, you know, at the end of the day, this brings us right back to what Anand was talking about earlier in the episode, the humility of an advisor to augment the value they deliver with expertise of others. And that's ultimately what makes IQ stand out a bit from the other growth engines and why it can become such a powerful strategy for some firms. So Anand, John, thanks so much for being part of the conversation today.
Mark, thank you for your time. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you, Mark.
And that's a wrap for episode 4. Thanks very much for tuning in. Coming up in our next episode, we'll discuss the fourth engine, EQ. And after that, we'll conclude season 2 with Mike Durbin back again to talk about how the growth engines can all work together. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Mark Squires. Thanks for listening to FinPoint.
FinPoint is a production of Fidelity Investments. Any reproduction, transcription, or rebroadcasts of this content are forbidden without explicit permission. Information provided in this program is for informational and educational purposes only. To the extent any information in this material is deemed to be a recommendation, it is not meant to be impartial investment advice or advice in a fiduciary capacity, and is not intended to be used as a primary basis for you or your client's investment decisions. Fidelity and its representatives may have a conflict of interest in the products and or services mentioned in this material because they have a financial interest in them and receive compensation, directly or indirectly, in connection with the management, distribution, and or servicing of these products or services, including Fidelity funds, certain third-party funds and products, and certain investment services. Views expressed are of the date of the recording, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of the speakers, and not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of this information. The third-party providers mentioned herein are neither affiliated with nor an agent of Fidelity, and are not authorized to make representations on behalf of Fidelity. Their input herein does not suggest a recommendation or an endorsement by Fidelity. This information was provided by third-party providers and is subject to change. The content provided and maintained by any third-party website is not owned or controlled by Fidelity. Fidelity takes no responsibility whatsoever, nor in any way endorses such content. There is no form of legal partnership, agency affiliation, or similar relationship among an investment professional, the third-party service providers, and Fidelity Investments, nor is such relationship created or implied by the information herein. Third-party trademarks and service marks are property of their respective owners. All other trademarks and service marks are property of FMR LLC or its affiliated companies.
Fidelity Institutional provides investment products through Fidelity Distributors Company LLC, clearing custody or other brokerage services through National Financial Services LLC or Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC. Members NYSE SIPC.
Copyright 2020 FMR LLC. All rights reserved.
Reference number 10128.25.1.0.